Scripture is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. It's found on page 80 in your pew Bible. Listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising Jesus with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your living word. Speak, Father, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I read the newspaper on Tuesday morning and learned that Krispy Kreme donuts had closed 5 of its 7 outlets in Hong Kong and now putting the company into voluntary liquidation. Another business bite the dust. I still remember how excited we were when Krispy Kreme donuts first came to Hong Kong 2 years ago. And we used to go there to buy donuts to reward people who came to the early morning church meetings. But now no more. Of course, comparing to Thailand radio services, you write, and some of the financial institutions, restaurants, and factories, the impact of Krispy Kreme's closing is not as huge. But we are still talking about affecting the livelihoods of about 100 employees and their families. Behind the statistics and the indexes that we hear each day about how the economy is doing are human stories. Stories with flesh and blood. We each have our own story. It may be financial, relationship, or health related. And sometimes it is difficult to tell others our story, and they don't seem to understand. Talking about feeling lonely and helpless, I think there are no other groups that understand this better than the lepers in Jesus' days. Leprosy is a horrible disease to have, and especially during biblical times. Because not only was there the pain of the disease itself, there was also a stigma attached to it. Lepers were considered unclean and were shut out and cast off. They were being separated from their family and friends. In our scripture reading today, we read about 10 lepers. No one knows how long it had been since they had felt the touch of their wife and the kiss of their children. The Bible says that they kept their distance. They stood afar off. None of us here have leprosy. But I believe there were times when we felt separated and alone. Whether it was because of the loss of a job, the dissolving of a marriage, or the death of a loved one. The feeling of alienation may be something of the past or maybe something of the present. The most painful part for the lepers was that they were also shut out from the Father God. They believed that leprosy is a punishment for sin, and as sinners, they're not to come near God, and so they would not draw near on their own. Do you know what kept the lepers at a distance? The law. The law shut them out. The law set forth the conduct for lepers. The law said when lepers see people, they have to pass on the other side and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." But where the law says man cannot go, Jesus goes. Where the law passes on the other side, Jesus made it a point to make contact. Jesus knows where the lepers are, but he chooses this way on purpose. We may avoid contact or afraid to make contact, but Jesus reaches out to us. While we stand afar off from Jesus, Jesus does not stand afar off from us. A week before Christmas in 2006, I received a phone call from a distressed young couple. Their two-year-old girl died of a sudden asthma attack. I did not know this couple. They were not churchgoers. But when this disaster hit, they thought of God. And they thought the last thing that they could do was to let the little girl rest in peace. And they want the funeral to be held in a church. And how could I say no to such a request? Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." This young girl may be too young to understand the gospel, but Jesus has a way to reach her, and I believe that she is now in heaven with Jesus. And I also told the grieving parents that they can see the girl again if they accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life to the Father God. And at first, they stood afar off, feeling no one could understand their feelings of losing their darling little girl, their only daughter. They stood afar off from God, feeling that they do not deserve the grace of God. But they were slowly drawn by the love of God. And now they have a relationship with Jesus and are worshiping regularly at a Chinese-speaking church. And last week, a friend of theirs who attends our church told me that this couple now had a baby boy. No one can replace this darling little girl. But as final as death, God has a way to heal us and gives us what only He can give. We also have our part. We need to recognize our need and cry out to Jesus like the lepers did. The pain and the loneliness of this disease were evident to these 10 lepers. They knew they needed help, and there was none to be found except in Jesus, whom they heard healed the sick. But Jesus' answer to them is a bit surprising. Jesus does not ask if they believe, nor does he touch them as how he had healed the other lepers. Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Essentially, Jesus told them to do what the law required when a leper was cleansed, without assuring them that they would be cured. But all 10 lepers obeyed Jesus' command without question. They just went. And still wrapped in bandages and lean on clutches, they hobbled down the road. But as they went, one after another cried out, "I'm clean, the sores are gone, my flesh has been restored." Did Jesus cure them on the spot? Did Jesus heal them by saying a word or by touching them as they have expected? This cures happened after a delay and at a distance. If the leper said, "I've not heard anyone who had been healed this way," and refused to listen to Jesus, what would happen? We are impatient people, and we often feel disappointed when God does not answer our prayer immediately or the way we have expected. The truth is, God is much more creative than we are. He has many ways to heal us than we can imagine. The key is not to let discouragement set in to hinder us from seeing the glory of God. Many of you know that my mom had an open heart surgery 2 weeks ago. And the trauma was so great that the anesthetist said that he would basically sedate her for the first day so she would not feel the pain. She was hooked up to a ventilator which breathed for her. But before they could detach her from the ventilator the next day, they had to make sure that she can breathe on her own. And so less drugs were administered, and she woke up, finding herself hooked up to all kinds of machines. Thinking that she would get better after the surgery, she found herself worse. She could not speak, hardly had any energy to even lift her arm, aches all over her body, and thirsty to death. But the doctor had to let her struggle, be breathing on her own before detaching her from the ventilator, which was attached to her through a large tube that went down her throat. I saw anguish in my mother's eyes. She was like pleading me to rescue her. And I said, "Mom, trust the Lord. God is healing you." But she turned her head, disagreeing with me. And I said, "I know you are in pain, Mom, but let's give thanks to the Lord, because feeling pain means that you have fully woken up from the surgery and is breathing on your own." And soon after, a large tube was being pulled out from her chest. And I said, "Mom, let's give thanks again." And we prayed. And for the next 2 days, we gave thanks as each tube was being removed. How do we give thanks in the midst of trials? Focus on the tubes removed instead of the tubes remain. The trouble will not disappear right away, but there are always things that we can give thanks. Being thankful enables us to overcome problems instead of being overcome by them. Giving thanks enables us to overcome our problems instead of being overcome by them. 10 lepers were healed on that day, but only one returned to offer thanksgiving. As this man came to Jesus, fell down before him in perfect submission and gave thanks and praise to Jesus, this man received more than he had ever expected. Jesus told him, "Got up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Other versions say, "Your faith has made you whole." This person has not only been physically healed, but spiritually healed as well. As he expressed gratitude, this man knew more than the gifts, but the giver. We are all facing challenges in one way or the other. Do we pray for only the trouble to go away? In other words, do we only pray for the gifts? Or do we also pray to know the giver more? God may choose to physically heal a person from a distance, but spiritual healing can only come when we fall prostrate before the feet of Jesus Christ and worship Him as Savior and Lord. Knowing the giver comes as we give thanks and praise to the Lord. Many people see the need to pray, but not too many see the need to praise. But as we praise and give thanks in all circumstances, even in the midst of challenges and setbacks, we see what God sees, and our vision will be transformed. This past Wednesday, right before our small group met, I overheard a mobile phone conversation one of the women in our group had with her client. I didn't hear the content of the conversation, but I could sense that it was with a disgruntled client. Nowadays, there are many angry people, and as a staff, if you can easily got caught in a crossfire. But to my surprise, this person came in with a smile in her face. And as we talk, she offered a lot of thanksgiving. And she said, the economy is tough now, but it had not really affected my lifestyle. I really had nothing to complain, but much to give thanks. And in fact, this is the time to give more financially, because many people are hurting, and they need more than I do. What a perspective. No complain, but only praise. And this is what praise does to you, that as you praise, it turns our worries and anxieties into peace and joy. A young man passed his CPA exam with flying colors and is now a full-fledged certified public accountant. And filled with self-importance, this young man began to criticize his father's way of keeping the books. And he said, Dad, the way you keep your accounts, you will never know how much profit you have made. And the father answered, Son, when I first came to Hong Kong, the only thing I owned is a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor, your sister is a lawyer, and you are a certified public accountant. Your mother and I own this flat, and we have a car and own this little business. Now add that up, subtract the pants, and the rest is all profit. Add it up. And that is what we should do today and every day. Add it all up. Think about it. We came into this world with nothing. But now we have all these things and eternal life. Everything is a blessing. We can never give too much thanks to our Lord. And if we do not know what to give thanks for, I hope this video will help. And the YouCafe will also have the version of the video, and so it's on.